Hello, friends. Welcome to Sit and Behold. This is Camila, your host, and I am so excited to be here once again. I am so blessed and grateful to just sit here with you to have a conversation about the Lord, His Word, and to just soak into the revelation and the wisdom that He has shared with us. And before I say anything else, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, because your support and your love on that first episode truly felt like a wink from the Lord. It felt like a hug from my Father, because as much as I would love to say that it was all flowers and rainbows, it came with a lot of fear, it came with doubt, it came with questions, and it just felt like even more confirmation of what's on the other side of obedience, of just how much the Lord surprises you when you're just willing to make that sacrifice and to deny yourself and deny your desires and your feelings and your pride. And so I just wanted to thank you for being here once again. And I am just praying that today's episode blesses your life as much as it did mine. And I know it's been a while. I am actually just getting over a cold, and so if I sound any different, I apologize, but I just couldn't hold on to this word any longer. I truly felt like I needed to share this today. Like, I'm literally posting this right after recording it. So I feel like it's something that we need. I feel like it's something that this generation needs to hear, because I see us struggling with this, and it's truly a chain that the enemy is trying to hold us. And it is a personal conviction that the Lord brought into my life. It was a personal slap in the face. And so I just feel like I need to share, and I just pray that you open your hearts to what the Lord has to say today. And just as a reminder that the voice of God will never bring accusation, it will never bring shame, He will never come and point fingers at you. He will bring conviction, yes, but with that, He will also show you mercy, and He's going to be like, hey, I'm not asking you to do it on your own. I'm asking you to lean on me, to rely on me, so that that conviction can lead to transformation. Because it is one thing to feel convicted, because when you feel that conviction, it is beautiful, because that's evidence of the Holy Spirit in you. But when that conviction doesn't lead to transformation, when there is no action taken from that conviction, that's just emotion. And that's not going to lead you to look like Christ. So conviction should lead you to transformation, to changing something so that you look more like Christ every single day. And so every time you feel conviction in your life, that is an opportunity for you to make a decision that will make you become a better disciple of Jesus Christ. And so without adding anything else, without yapping your ear off, I'm just going to start. And a moment of silence will be needed for this title, because the title alone, I feel like that alone brought so much conviction into my life. I literally wrote the title on my journal and I sent a picture to my fiance, and we were both like, oh, standing emoji. But okay, today's title is Laziness and the Idol of Regret. I warned you, moment of silence, because I feel like this is such a hard topic when it comes to self-reflection, because nobody wants to come to the acceptance, nobody wants to come to the revelation that they are lazy. And this happened to me personally, because I don't like to look at myself as a lazy person. I don't like to identify myself with the fool that Proverbs is talking about. I don't like to identify myself as a procrastinator, or as a whatever you want to call it. And I feel like it's also very hard for all of us collectively as a generation, as human beings, to just look at ourselves as lazy people. And it's weird to me, because when you look at today's culture, when you look at the at society nowadays, we have literally romanticized laziness. We have romanticized procrastination, because when you go on any social media, people are romanticizing sitting in bed for hours doing nothing. They are romanticizing just like bed rotting and like scrolling on apps for hours and just doing absolutely nothing with your time. But then when you call them lazy, that's so shameful. So please make it make sense for me how you are intentionally being a lazy person, but you don't like being called out for it. And this word came to me because I have been lazy today. I started my day and I kind of did not start my day with God. So that to me is already setting myself up for failure. I woke up in a rush because I sabotaged myself and booked an oil change at 7 a.m. So obviously, I wake up in a rush, I do what I have to do when I get to that appointment. And so instantly, I'm already doing things wrong. I'm already woken up on the wrong side of bed. And I know not everyone starts their day reading their Bibles or just at least praying, which weird. I think the first thing we should do as soon as we open our eyes is thank you, God, for giving me the breath of life. But anyway, so I kind of had already set up myself for failure because I did not start my day with God. I don't think I truly thanked God for allowing me to open my eyes today. And so when I came back home from my oil change, I just suddenly wanted to get back in bed. I didn't have the energy to do anything. And I knew what I was missing was sitting down and opening my Bible. And I, for some reason, was just procrastinating it. I was like, okay, let me take my nap. Then when I wake up, I'm going to sit down and read my Bible. And it's my day off. So please don't think the absolute worst of me for wanting to take a nap after literally just waking up. But cut me some slack, okay? But anyways, I knew what I had to do. I knew what my responsibility was. And what I do? Ignored it. So the whole day, I am keeping my mind busy with dumb little tasks. I was doing things that I was not supposed to be doing before reading my Bible. And then I was in a weird mood the entire day. And I'm questioning myself. I'm like, okay, what's wrong with me? Why am I in this mood? Like, why do I feel this type of way? And in my head, the Holy Spirit is like, open the Bible, open the Bible, open the Bible, open the Bible. Like, literally, like, tapping my shoulder the whole day. And I'm just not doing it. I'm ignoring it. I'm just doing the complete opposite. And I'm letting my fleshly desires, I'm letting the need to make a second coffee, to literally the dumbest little tasks that you can think of. That's what I was doing the entire day. And so because I'm in this weird mood, now I cannot be productive. Now I'm just rotting in my couch. And I was switching positions because I got up from my bed and I just sat in a chair, and then I was scrolling for hours, and then I moved to my couch scrolling for hours. And in my head, I'm like, oh my God, I feel so bad. Like, I do not feel like myself. I feel guilty. I feel like I should be doing something else. And yet, I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. And so, that was just a little context of my day. That was just how I came into this word, how God brought conviction into my life. Because then I was like, okay, why am I looking to blame someone else when I am the one that's failing to fulfill my responsibility? And that's when it hit me. I would rather do so many things before I opened my Bible today, when I could have easily fixed and turned my entire day around if I was just obedient to God. If I was just obedient to what the Holy Spirit was leading me to do. And so I think this is a constant theme in our generation. And I think laziness is truly a chain because it takes control over your life. It takes control over 1 hour of your day, then it becomes 2 hours, then it's five, then it's your whole day, then that day becomes a whole week. And that's just how laziness is a cycle that's just keeping you chained. And it feels harmless because when you procrastinate, it's like, okay, I'm gonna do this in the next hour. I'm just gonna keep this hour to scroll, to do whatever it is that you're doing, whatever that you prefer to do. And it's like in that time that you are choosing to procrastinate, you are choosing to satisfy your own desire before fulfilling the assignment that God has given you. Because we are forgetting when we procrastinate, when we choose to be lazy, we are forgetting that the time that the Lord has given us is a gift. And I feel like we take it so for granted. Like, I'm going to go to sleep almost certain that I'm going to wake up tomorrow. Why? Like, if the Lord chooses to not wake me up tomorrow, I'm not waking up tomorrow. But it's like we are forgetting that it's a gift that we are breathing. It is a gift that you get to wake up every single day, and it is a blessing that you have time that you can decide what to do with. But when you choose to do nothing, it's like, oh, I don't really care about the time that God has given me. We are so bad at stewarding the gifts that the Lord is giving us. And we are failing, and we are going against the original design that God has for our lives. Because God has not put us in this earth to scroll. God has not put us on this earth to use resources. God has not put us on this earth to lay in bed. God has not put us on this earth to satisfy that desire that we are satisfying when we choose to procrastinate, when we choose to be lazy. And we are acting as if personal satisfaction is what the goal is. We are acting as if this life is about us. And I feel like that's something that we see in society, and it's a cultural thing to just do what your heart desires, to just do what makes you happy, to do what makes you feel alive, when that is not what we should be doing. That is not what our focus should be as believers. We are not here to please ourselves. We are not here to please our parents. We are not here to feel happy. I'm sorry. This life has literally absolutely nothing to do with us and everything to do with God and the purpose that He has placed over our lives. And so we are failing to deny ourselves and being true disciples of Jesus Christ when we procrastinate, and when we choose laziness, and when we choose this procrastination cycle over for fulfilling the responsibilities that God has given us. And we're just failing to be a good steward of all of the gifts and all of the blessings, because those responsibilities that are a burden to you, those responsibilities that we complain so much about, they are a gift. Like, what a gift and what a blessing it is that I have a house to clean. What a blessing it is that I have so many clothes to wear that my laundry basket is always full. So all of those things that we are constantly complaining about, all of those things that we are choosing to push for the next day, all of those things that we are choosing to procrastinate on, those things are a gift. Like, what a gift that I literally get to wash dishes, because that means that I got to eat, that my family had a meal on the table. Like, everything, if you put it into perspective, anything and everything that you are complaining about is a gift. Everything, like the fact that you have to wake up early to go to work, the fact that you are lazy enough to go to the gym because you have the chance to pay for a gym membership and to move your body. Like, what a gift and what a blessing it is. And we're just such bad stewards of the gifts that God has given us. And I just, and this like brings so much, like, I almost want to cry speaking about this because it's like, it is a habit of mine to complain. I am the, literally, if they made, you know how they make those top charts for music, the, you know, what's ranking first and what's ranking last, I would be at the top of people that complain the most on this earth. I would be at the top. I'm actually a different category. You'd have to make a new one for me. And that's something that the Lord has been working in me for a while. And I feel like I've gotten a little better about it. Now I can kind of like at least try to see the positive in things and not be so negative about everything and to just be such a good like steward about all of the gifts that God has given us. Because time is a gift. Time is actually the most precious gift. Like the fact that I have time to like anything, every whatever you complained about today, whatever you procrastinated today, whatever you are procrastinating on your to-do list this week, that is a blessing. That is a blessing that you are not stewarding well. And so this is like an invitation, this is a calling to just look at everything as a gift. And so when you look at everything as a gift, now you don't want to leave it as the last thing you do. Now it's not so much a burden. Now it's an opportunity, you know? And I feel like in every thing, in every everything, in everything, that's an opportunity to glorify God, you know? Like, I am so grateful that you have given me a house to clean. So I am gonna clean this house as if I was doing it for the Lord. And guys, I'm just like, this just brought so much conviction into my life. Like, I wish, and I'm praying that you're feeling the exact same thing that I'm feeling and that I felt when the Lord spoke to me, because it's just, it changes your life. It's that type of conviction, which every conviction should lead you to transformation, but it's that type of thing that literally like turns on a switch in your head and you're like automatically a different person. That's how I feel. That's how I felt when the Lord convicted me of this. And I don't know. And we've been talking about it from a secular standpoint, right? We've been talking about like postponing your homework, postponing your whatever it is, those responsibilities and those obligations that you have in your secular life. But I feel like procrastination, and I know that procrastination and laziness is dangerous for a believer, and it's dangerous spiritually because you not only avoid your secular responsibilities, but you are also neglecting the responsibilities that come with being a disciple of Jesus. A lazy believer, and I feel like I'm gonna have to say this twice, three times, four times, I don't know, but a lazy believer literally becomes spiritually weak because you are neglecting, you are avoiding, you are postponing the very things that will connect you directly with God. You are neglecting reading your Bible. You are neglecting, or you are avoiding, or you are postponing prayer, literally sitting down and beholding and talking with your Father. You are postponing and neglecting that. And so that will lead you to be spiritually weak, to be spiritually dead. Because how can you be on fire for God if you are neglecting the very things that will connect you to the source? You cannot expect the phone to perform if you're not connecting it to the charger. If that's not connected to the source, if it's not receiving power, that phone is going to be good for nothing. And so the same thing goes for us. When you are procrastinating the things that directly lead you to have that intimacy with the Father, to hear His voice, to know where you should go, what direction to take, what step to take. When you are neglecting those things, you're neglecting connection with the Father. And so you cannot be spiritually firm. You cannot be spiritually alive and free if you are procrastinating, if you are being a lazy. There is no such thing as a lazy believer. It should not be a thing, because we are here to reflect Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ was never a procrastinator. In fact, the first thing that he would do when he woke up would be pray. You know, like always that daily connection with the Father, always focused, always intentional about the things that he was doing. Everything had an intention. Everything had purpose. And that is the way that we should be living our lives. And we are so distracted by the choices that we are free to make that we just choose to not do it. The fact that I have so many options to do in my day will leave me to read my Bible to be the last. And then if the end of the day comes and I don't fulfill that, that's fine, because at least I went to the gym, I did all of these things. And that is why you have people that are incredibly successful that are spiritually dead. Because when you are lazy in your secular life, you will most likely be secular. I mean, sorry, you will most likely be procrastinating in your spiritual life. And that is so dangerous. That is really like you opening the door to the devil to be like, oh, come here. Please give me 20,000 responsibilities before I get to read my Bible. And that is so dangerous, because we should not be living a life fulfilling all of our responsibilities and then adding Jesus into the mix. We should place Jesus Christ at the center of our lives and build our lives around that. Because there is nothing in this world. There is absolutely no responsibility. There is no role in your life that matters more than connecting with your Father. Your parents don't need you more than you need to be connected with God. Your wife does not need you more than you need to be connected with God. Your children do not need you more than you need to be connected with God. Because you will not be able to fulfill that role properly if you are not connected to the source of your everything. If you are not getting water from that living, that source of living water, you are feeding yourself with the wrong thing. And so to this leads me to the second part of the title, which, if you remember correctly, it was The Idol of Regret. Because what happens when you've been procrastinating? What happens when you've been lazy all day? What happens when I didn't read my Bible all day because I was just procrastinating it and I was choosing to do other little small tasks that literally don't matter with being compared to reading my Bible? Regret. Regret is what comes after. I literally asked for, as an experiment, I asked my sister what she thought bed rotting meant. And what caught my attention was that, well, she said something along the lines of, oh, it's like sitting in your bed and like doing whatever it is that you want to do, like scrolling or like doing whatever, but doing nothing. And then feeling disgusting after because you did absolutely nothing. And so that caught my attention because I was like, regret right there. Regret. Because we're always like, oh my God, I wish I prayed more. I wish I read my Bible more. I wish I started my day with God. I wish I did this. I wish. And so you become stuck in this cycle of I wish, I wish, I wish, and doing nothing about it. And that regret becomes an idol because it takes over God's throne in your heart. Because now you are thinking about how much you regret not doing these things, that you are stuck in that cycle of doing absolutely nothing, and that regret in your heart, in your mind, is occupying the space that God should be occupying. And so we make an idol of the regret because we think that the feeling of regret in us is more important than taking action and getting closer to God. We And I'm going to be completely honest with you. If God had not spoken to me the way that he did, if he had not come at that very moment and was like, Camila, you need to stop and do something about it. And I'm going to take you because this, I'm going to tie it into the Bible. There is a parable that actually is absolutely perfect for this. And if he had not stopped me in my complaining, if he had not stopped me in my procrastination, that cycle would have kept going. I would have probably done the same thing tomorrow, the same thing day after tomorrow, and it is a cycle that starts taking a toll on you. And so when you're stuck in those I wishes and when you're stuck in all of that, that's all you can think of. So that thought of regret is greater than the thought of God himself. And so we are making an idol of our feelings. We are making an idol of our regret. And we, that's another thing, and that's a topic for a different day. We are so dumb because it's really so easy for human beings to just make an idol out of anything and everything. And it is actually scary and mind-boggling how the smallest thing or the thing that you could think that you could never make an idol of is an idol that you've made in your heart. And so procrastination and laziness will lead you to regret, and that regret becomes an idol because it takes up the space that God should be taking up in your life, in your mind, in your decisions. And I want to take you to the Bible, to where everything made sense to me, where God was like, exactly. And this is found in Matthew 26, 1-13. And this is the parable of the 10 virgins. I'm not going to read all of it for the sake of time because it's about to be 30 minutes. And I don't know if anyone will be interested in listening to 30 minutes. But if you're still here, I promise you it's good, okay? Like, what's coming is even better than everything that's come out of my mouth to this moment. So I was reading through this and I'm just like so excited because I really do pray and I really do hope that you are feeling what I'm feeling and that this will like lead you to like change your life, to like change the whole trajectory of who you are and to just sit with God and be like, God, please give me the strength to like change this in my life now. So I was reading through this and it's the parable of the 10 virgins. You can go and read it because it's actually very interesting. It's short and it's so powerful. It just blessed my life so much. And basically Jesus is speaking about 10 bridesmaids and he's comparing these 10 bridesmaids to the kingdom of heaven. And basically the whole parable is that there are 10 bridesmaids that are waiting for their bridegroom. And so in this time they should be preparing their lamps with oil for the day that the bridegroom will come and will take them to the wedding and that whole jazz. But he speaks of 10 bridesmaids, but he says that five were very foolish and that five were very wise. So the five foolish bridesmaids, he calls them foolish because they did not prepare. And then Jesus says that the wise bridesmaids, they prepare their lamps with oil and they even had extra oil. And so the parable goes to say that one day at midnight, they get woken up by the shouts of, "The bridegroom is here. Prepare your lamps because he is here." And the foolish, bridesmaids are asking the other ones for oil. They're like, "Hey, do you think you have enough to give me? Because I don't have enough. Like, I didn't prepare enough oil. Like, I didn't know it was today. Like, nobody warned me that it was today, so I didn't prepare the oil." And so the ones that obviously had enough oil, they were like, "Oh, I'm sorry, we don't have enough for everyone. You need to like go to the store and buy oil. You need to go and get your own oil." And so basically the parable goes on to say that the ones that were prepared, obviously, they go with the Lord he takes them to the marriage feast, and they are prepared, and so they go with him. And the interesting part comes at the end, because I'm not ready, and neither are you, okay? It says that while the five foolish bridesmaids were gone looking for oil, because they had procrastinated, because they waited till the very last minute. So when the bridegroom came, the ones that were prepared left with him. And the ones that weren't, they were away from the bridegroom. They were over there trying to figure out where to get oil because they waited till the very last second. And the story, the parable says that when they come back, when they finally are able to gather the oil, when they're finally prepared, they're like knocking on the door, because after the Lord takes the bridesmaids that were prepared, he shuts the door. And so when the ones that weren't prepared get their oil, they come and they're knocking at the door and they're like, Lord, Lord, please open the door. Let me in. Let me in. I finally have the oil. And what does the Lord say? The Lord was like, and I quote, believe me, I do not know you. actual tears, because I'm sorry. Anyways, the last verse in this parable, I'm going to read it. That one, I'm actually going to read it, because I think that's just, I'm going to read that and finish the episode, not even say bye, because that is enough to go home, okay? Verse 13, Matthew 26:13 says, so you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return. Guys, what do I say after that? Like, it speaks on its own, you know? Like, when we are procrastinating and when we are neglecting our spiritual lives, when we are neglecting our spiritual condition, when we are neglecting the very things that connect us to the source of our freedom, to the source of our wisdom, to the source of our strength, to the source of our peace, of our joy, of our wisdom, of everything that is good and of everything that blesses our life, when we are neglecting those things, we are becoming spiritually weak. And that is not the bride that the Lord is coming back for. And so when you are procrastinating, when you choose to go to bed, and when you're like, oh, I don't want to pray, I'll pray tomorrow, who's guaranteeing you that the bridegroom will not come before tomorrow? And how sad would it be that when he comes, you're like, oh my God, I don't have oil. Where do I look for oil? And then when you come back and you finally have that oil, he says he doesn't know you. And so it's just a calling to prioritize and to come back to what matters and to come back to him. Because he is the one. Yes, it's hard. It's hard to wake up early, because I am going to tell you one thing and one thing only. There is no such thing as not having enough time for the Lord. There is no such thing as not having enough time to read your Bible and instead just choosing to listen to worship music, or instead just choosing to listen to a podcast, or instead just choosing to show up to church. There is no such thing as not having enough time to connect with our Father, because it is inconsistent to desire to spend eternity with him if you do not have an hour out of 24 to dedicate to him. If the 24 hours are a gift, why are you not giving him back one? And how sad would it be to have him before our eyes and not be prepared and not, like, not be known by him? Like, that just, I cannot even fathom the thought of having him face to face and having to be like, wait, hold on, I need to go somewhere else because I don't have enough oil. I want to be the bridesmaid that is prepared. I want to have extra oil for the day when the bridegroom comes. I want to be the bride that he desires. And that is what we should be aspiring to as a church. That is what we should be aspiring as the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ, because he is coming back. That is for sure. And he is preparing place. He said he's preparing over there. He's preparing room for us in the house of his Father because he has many rooms. So he is preparing, but how prepared are we? Stop neglecting the connection. Stop neglecting connecting yourself to the source, because a phone is no good when it has no battery. A phone is no good when it's not connected to the source. A phone is not good if at the end of the day or if at the beginning of the day it's not connected to the source. It is no good. It's good for nothing. Like, it, you need to be connected to the source. You need to desire to be prepared, because we don't know the time. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. So who will guarantee you that night that you're going to bed without praying, without reading his word, without talking to God, that he will not come? And he'll come and be like, believe me, I do not know you. Guys, what? I'm sorry. I'm just going to go ahead and leave you with that. And I just hope that the Holy Spirit will do its work on its own. And I know that he will. And I just pray that this episode will bless your life as much as it did mine, because it truly changed my life. It changed my point of view. And I just feel like calling into work to read my Bible all day, every day, tomorrow. And I just hope and pray that this will be good for you. And before I go, I just want to say a quick prayer. I just want to ask the Lord for his strength, for his guidance, because I know it's not easy, because I know it costs us something. It costs us to deny, it costs us to sacrifice, and it's not easy because it's a constant war between the flesh and the spirit. And I just pray, Father God, tonight or whatever time of day it is, Lord, I just pray that whoever is on the other end, Father God, that you will just cover us with a mantle of joy, with a mantle of your strength, Father God, so that you will be the one guiding us, Father God, to stop neglecting the very things that will connect us to you, Father God. We desire to be the bride that you desire, Father God. I want to be the one that you come back for, Father God. I want to be known by you, Father God. I want to be that bride that you will look at me and not doubt for a second that it is me that you're coming for, Father God. And I just pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will continue to do that work in us, Father God, and that we will reflect you, that we will become more like you, Father God, that we will just be light in this world, Father God, that we will make a difference in this culture, in this society, Father God. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So thank you for staying. If you stay till the very end, I just hope it blesses your life. I just pray that you receive something. I just pray that even if you didn't receive anything from this, that this will motivate you to just get in your word. Because if you get in your word and if you pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, if you pray for the guidance and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, the Lord will speak. Okay? And yeah, that's everything I had to say today. That's everything I had to share. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your support. Thank you for absolutely everything. And I pray that you continue to have an amazing, blessed day. And I pray that you will do something with the gifts that God has given you. Bye.